This is the Awakening Podcast. I'm Eddie Hite, your host. So glad you've joined me today. We're continuing our devotional study of Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. And this is a timeless letter, truths so relative for the Christian, for the believer today. And today in our devotional guide, we are at day 25. And the title today is Satan's Defeat. This little devotion that I'm reading from, well, it's about 147, 148 pages long. It's called Complete in Christ, and it is available from Amazon, also from my website, eddiehite.com. It's called Complete in Christ. It's my name is on it, Eddie L. Hite, as the author. So if you'd like to get this, I know it'd be a tremendous blessing to you, and you can have it and use it as a daily devotional. And so we are reading today from Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And the title of our devotion today is Satan's Defeat. And Paul says in Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now he's talking, of course, about Jesus. I want to read that again, read it slowly. Listen to this. This is about Satan's defeat, which happened at the cross and the resurrection. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, in his cross and in his glorious resurrection. That was reading from the New King James. I'm just going to turn over to the NIV. Let me read it from the NIV. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Wow. You know, in the 8th century, when we're talking about Satan's defeat, and this is something the church needs to know. Christians need to know about Satan's defeat. Satan is not a fearsome foe. He is defeated. And when you know this, you will never be afraid of the devil again. When you get a hold of this truth I'm sharing today, you will never be afraid of the devil and demons again. Here's a great true story from the 8th century. In the 8th century, an English missionary named Boniface traveled to the area of present-day Germany and began sharing the gospel with the people there. And of course, they were steeped in paganism and superstition, and they lived in fear of spirits, demons, and gods, little g, gods, that they believed ruled over various areas of their lives and over nature. After giving Boniface an initial hearing, the people went about their daily lives paying little attention to the foreigner and his message of a redeemer named Jesus. Well, Boniface, realizing that drastic measures must be taken to get their attention, he announced a gathering at the sacred oak of the thunder god, the most feared and revered deity of the region. And this most feared and revered deity, god, so-called, of the region, called the thunder god, there was an oak that was considered a sacred oak. And the people, they would gather there to pay homage and go through any rituals that they had developed and to pay homage to the thunder god. And it was called the sacred oak of the thunder god. Well, Boniface announced a gathering at the sacred oak of the thunder god. And hundreds gathered to see what the foreigner had in mind. Was he going to acknowledge their thunder god? Why has he called them here? Well, the crowd gasped when Boniface pulled out an axe and began chopping away at the sacred oak. The crowd expected him to fall over dead at any moment. But instead, he continued chopping away until the mighty oak of the thunder god came crashing to the ground. Boniface then cut the tree into lumber and constructed a Christian chapel from the wood of the oak of the thunder god. Now, what is interesting is that immediately following this event, a mass movement to Christianity began throughout the region. Thousands turned to Christ and were baptized. What happened? How did this happen? What happened? Well, Barnabas demonstrated to the people that they had nothing to fear from the spirits and demons that had held them in such bondage. He demonstrated that the thunder god really had no power in the face of this Jesus of Nazareth whom he preached, whom he worshiped, and whom he preached. And when the people saw this, they were loosed from their bondages of fear and turned the masses, the thousands, there in what is present-day Germany, turned to Jesus Christ. Wow. Yes, Paul says here in this passage that Jesus at the cross and resurrection that he disarmed. He took away their authority. Now, they were not annihilated. They're still around. They still exist. And they will come around to harass you and to attack you. But you see, when you know the truth, that's why Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so, Satan's defeat is Paul's message to the Colossians in chapter 2, verse 15. They have no reason to fear the demonic realm. Jesus, by his death and glorious resurrection, disarmed the principalities and powers. In other words, he stripped them of their armor and weaponry so that they no longer have any power to inflict hurt. Not only were they stripped of their weaponry, that is their authority, but they were also publicly humiliated in the spirit realm. Paul says that Jesus made a public spectacle of them. So, oh, my friends, how the church today needs to know this truth. All of the inhabitants of heaven and hell know what a smashing defeat was delivered by Jesus to Satan and all his forces. So many even charismatic and Pentecostal Christians do not know this. Instead, they base much teaching about spiritual warfare on Old Testament passages about spiritual princes ruling over different geographical areas. These are the very principalities that were disarmed by Jesus at the cross. So I'll say it again, there's a lot of teaching today on spiritual warfare that is based on the Old Testament rather than on the New Testament and the revelation of what Jesus accomplished at the cross and his glorious resurrection. So today, Satan's only power today lies in his ability to deceive. That is why Jesus said, the passage I just quoted, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We must know the truth of the triumph of Jesus Christ and Satan's defeat through the cross and his glorious resurrection. I want you to know that that's why Paul says in another place that in Christ, in him, you are more than a conqueror. And that is why James said in James chapter, I believe it's chapter, is it chapter 4, verse 7? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God, yield to him, then resist the devil, he will flee. The Greek word there that is translated flee, it means to run in terror and has the connotations of someone being so frightened that their hair is standing out on end. And so Satan experienced such a smashing defeat at the cross and resurrection that those who know the truth about this, about his defeat, when they are yielded to God and they resist Satan, he runs in terror like someone so frightened that their hair is standing out on end. My friends, aren't you thankful for a wonderful Savior we have? What a wonderful Heavenly Father. What a wonderful God we serve. And what a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus Christ. I'm Eddie Hyatt. I hope you'll check out my website, eddiehyatt.com, eddiehyatt.com. There are articles there. There's a bookstore. My books are also available on Amazon. And you're welcome to send me an email or message me on Facebook. I haven't reached my full potential yet on Facebook. So I have room for a few more friends if you'd like to go there and friend me on Facebook. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for another episode of the Awakening Podcast.